This is Player One.
This is Player Two.
And you're listening to another great show only on the Four Eyed Radio Network.
The Third.
For more great shows, check out www.foureyedradio.com. Hello, and this is Stephen Mooney. I'm here to talk to you about one of our proud sponsors on the 4i Radio Network. They are called America Joy Print Shop. If you're looking to do business cards, flyers, posters, banners, cut vinyl, car wraps, and more, then definitely check out AmericaJoy.com for more information. And tell them the Fern sent you.
This feeling deep inside of me, girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. I'm hooked on a feeling.
Thank you for joining us again here at the Long Boxcast. My name is Kyle, and I'm here with my co-host,
Steve-O. I'm so glad you finally didn't call me your sidekick. I'm no one's sidekick.
Nobody's sidekick is nobody.
You know what Kyle, what I've learned is the Long Boxcast is like a team, okay? I am one of the members of that team, okay? I am nobody's sidekick. I am the Rocket Raccoon of this team.
Okay? I thought Toby was the Rocket Raccoon because he's always biting everything.
No, Toby's just Groot because he only Toby's does say one thing. Hey, but yeah, how you doing, Toby? Of course.
Thank you all for joining us. We are sponsored by, of course, our America Joy Print Shop, official sponsor of the 4i Radio Network. Business cards, flyers, posters, banners, cut vinyl, car wraps, and more. Visit AmericaJoy.com for more information, and just tell them the Fern sent you. And speaking of the Fern, you can listen to all our shows on the 4i Radio Network, the Fern, by going to 4iRadio.com, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zune Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast Directory, Blueberry Podcast Directory, Miro Guide, Double Twist, YouTube, Swell Radio, SoundCloud, and Player FM. Simply just type in either 4iRadio Radio or type in our show and enjoy. We're also presented by Raven Designs, illustration and designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RavenCruise.com. And as always, we're proud supporters of the Critical Care Comics, criticalcarecomics.org. They help donate books and things to children to help them kind of pass the time as they're in need of some medical attention, so definitely give them a support.
Yeah, great support group right there, so definitely check them out. And they're always taking donations, whether or not you think your comic book collection is great or not, they will take pretty
whatever
much almost
got.
Anything. I even asked them about toys. In case there's like some collectibles that, like, you know what, you're not doing anything with them. Maybe a kid would like to play with these or whatnot, you know, have something, you know, to help them through their stay at the hospital. I don't know if they're taking those yet, but these are also good things. There's actually another thing I heard about that Kyle and I should look into, which I should have mentioned on the Arcade Bro show, but apparently there's a thing that Bookman does. I heard from our two cosplayer guests that they had. It's like this game thing as well, so you could do drawings for donations for people. Like, people can auction off the artwork and the money will go to these proceeds. And then there's also, like, it's kind of like, it's almost like Extra Life for kids, but it's local based. It's in Arizona, so
very new. Nice. And yeah, it looks like Bookman's has also recently updated their website.
Woo!
So of course, where I was going to go to find out that information is no longer available. You bastards. As always, we are here to talk about all things comic book news related, what we've been reading. A lot of big news this week because obviously a trailer has finally come out for a film that I think if you're a comic book fanatic, you'd probably know about these characters. You probably grew up with these characters. You know more about them. I got to be honest, and this might be where I have to take off my hat and give it up to somebody else who has more qualifications, but never heard of them, and I've never read anything about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, actually, this was a comic book that when Disney bought Marvel, this was one of the first movies they said, we are going to be making Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, a lot of people were pretty much like, why? Why would you want to do this? Who is the Guardians of the Galaxy? And so on and so forth. But before we get into that, let's talk about our shout-outs for this week. We had no Facebook friends follows, but we did have a couple of tweets.
Yes.
We had at Steven Madsen, a good friend of the show. He also has the 12A production as well. Esteban de Idiot, which is also part of the Idiot section. Superhero
Ologists.
Okay, I wasn't
sure. Superherologists,
okay,
I guess is how they...
Then we have...
I did the same thing, too, when I typed it. I was like, did I spell this wrong?
Hishin Ho 18 and Kotex.
Yeah, pretty much.
What we've been reading this week, I have been dropping the ball. In fact, maybe after this, I might go to the Barnes & Noble because I think the next issue, Volume 1, has come out, Flash. So I want to definitely pick that up because I, like I said, I was talking about how much I love Batman, but I think my newest favorite character in the DC universe has been Alan Barry's The Flash. I absolutely love this character now after learning more about him and all this kind of stuff. So also, if I can find a Guardians of the Galaxy book, I'll probably definitely pick that up. Kyle, what have you been reading?
Book I've read, I actually found it for a good deal. It's a graphic novel that I'm not sure if they re-released it and it's finally out in paperback or if I just was lucky enough to come across it. But it's actually called Batman, Hellboy, and Starman. It's a book by Mike Mignola and Robinson. They basically, Ooh. It's all his drawings, Mike Mignola. He does a brilliant Batman. Like, if you've never seen his Batman concept art.
I'm looking at it right now. It's actually by DC and Dark Horse.
Yeah.
It was a two-issue incorporated crossover comic book mini series.
And it's really brilliant because if you look at a lot of his styles, there actually is a figurine you can buy. They remember the black and white versions of figures? Well, they do a figure set, and one of the figure sets they do is Mike Mignola's Batman.
Oh, okay.
And it's like literally that chiseled style. Like, he looks very Mike style. So definitely I picked it up. It's a good read. It's definitely a lot of fun. It adds to like the whole like the neo-Nazism party. That's the Batman investigating some stuff. There's actually something dealing with the Joker in it. So it's really cool. And it's really cool to also see his style. Like, I love his style.
I love his style, yeah.
And to see him take on a character like Batman, it's really genius. Like, I really like how they do
it. Hellboy, I would have to say, what I really like, don't get me wrong, I love the movies. I think the movies, they did a really well job with them. But if you read the comic books, like, I think I have volume like 1 through 8.
Yeah.
And I'm still working on it because Hellboy is one of those things. It taps into a lot of stuff that I really absolutely love because I love the supernatural. I love like this kind of like, you know, thing, and I love the fact that it's like the Bureau of Investigation, basically, you know, paranormal investigations. And I just love the fact that it's like literally this character is from hell, and then all the different creatures they run into and all these different characters, and you know, it's just such a great it's just a great thing. So this is definitely something I would like to read.
What's
now.
Cool too is like I have a couple of the versions also digital because I did the digital download through the DC. And for Dark Horse also has like an app. So I actually have BPRD, like a lot of them 1 through like 10, which I like because it actually branches into more of like Abe's story and everyone else, Liz's story. Like, it branches into all that.
Yeah, because they did a comic series where Hellboy actually leaves the foundation and actually Abe takes over as the leader.
For a while, they
did a thing like that, like a couple.
And they kind of tie into that. They have the amazing screw on head. That was one of his other ones.
I remember watching it at TJ's place. They actually have the DVD copy. It was only one pilot episode. So many great voice actors were in it. I think Damon Pierce. I forget. The guy who played Frasier's brothers.
Nigel.
He played, I think, like the Professor Monkey, like evil, like zombie monkey head or something like that. Like, it was such a great series. If you can track this down, it's probably on YouTube, but definitely check it out. The Amazing Screw-On Head. Basically, the concept of it was supposed to be a show. It's all done in his art style. It was supposed to be a show, cartoon show, going to Sci-Fi Channel. They did a pilot episode, and that was about it. It never got picked up, which is a shame because it was basically like Abraham Lincoln hires the Amazing Screw-On Head to be like, he's basically like his kind of personal like investigator and stuff like that. So like, he would get messages from Abraham Lincoln, be like, I need you to investigate this certain stuff. And it was just, it had that aspect of comedy, horror, this, all these like really kind of cool things going with it. So definitely check it. I love Mike Magnolia's stuff.
They also had that other one too, where he did Lobster Johnson. I don't know if you ever saw that one. He's basically a private eye, but he's like,
I've heard about it because he actually was in a couple of issues of Hellboy.
Yeah. So there's a whole takeoff with him too. So definitely, if you haven't checked out any of the Dark Horse comics of those, check them out. This one definitely was a good read. I enjoyed it a lot. The art style alone is worth picking up just to thumb it through. If you can find it, I think right now, I think I paid 11 because there's only like 2 issues and it's in a paperback. Yeah. So definitely check it out. It was definitely worth the read. And without further ado, I think we should get into talking, I guess. Do you want to talk about the trailer first and then maybe go back to the character spotlight because that might help? Or do you want to start with character spotlight and go into the trailer?
Yeah, we'll talk about the trailer. We'll probably put it up. It'll probably be a little bit in the background while we watch it or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But
what we're talking about, folks, if you haven't heard about
it, is the Guardians of the Galaxy. The trailer is now out and raring to go.
And I know there's a lot of speculation. A lot of people were concerned about it. But
it's actually gotten a lot of good, like, positive reviews. Like, you have Chris Pratt. He's going to be playing Jason Quill, aka Star-Lord. You also got the cast of everybody, and surprisingly, is more of all the other cast of characters that were in it that I had no idea was going to be in it. John C. Reilly.
Yeah, John C. Reilly,
the guy who played Wreck-It Ralph. He's been in Talladega Nights movie, the Dookie Cox story, and everything like that. I like how they're playing this. It looks like it's going to be kind of like an action-packed comedy. I love them going through the rap sheet.
Yeah, when they're going through everybody's kind of talk, kind of fills you in on who they are, and you obviously all understand that they're all outlaws.
Yeah, you have Drax, who's played by a former WWF wrestler.
Yeah, Batista, I think his name.
Batista, Gamora. I don't know.
She's the one who actually was in Star Trek as Uhura.
Oh, okay.
She's playing her.
Of course, you got Rocket Raccoon, who's going to be played by Bradley Cooper. You got Groot, who's going to be played by, or voiced by Vin Diesel, which is kind of funny because we talked about this. All that Groot ever says is, "I am Groot."
Yeah.
And then you've got, of course, Chris Pratt, who actually was the main guy in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
So his career is really popular because he's hilarious in Parks and Rec. If you've never seen Parks and Rec, he's hilarious. So when they said he was going to be this person, like in Parks and Rec in the first couple of seasons, he's kind of a chunky guy. He lost a shit ton of weight and built up for this role. So, yeah. But what's going on with the preview right now is basically they're all kind of in lockup. It's kind of going through showing you the characters. You kind of see, like, him, you know, he's yelling at some guy for taking his headphone set. Then it's kind of going in, showing you a bunch of different actors. It looks like there's going to be a scene of them in jail lockup where they're going to, like, pretty much bust
either
out.
Either break out or, yeah, like, out, have a riot. Kind of stuff.
My favorite part is just watching Rocket Raccoon go nuts with a machine gun. You also, what the coolest part I love about Jason, yeah, I love this. Now, the guy behind him, the guy who says a bunch of a-holes, he was in Shaun of the Dead. He was the roommate that no one liked. He's been in a bunch of different stuff. So they have a lot of people going into this, so Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I remember when the show or the movie was first talked about, people were like, why are they doing this? Why not is doing this? The trailer's come out, and I've seen no really negative reviews. It all seems pretty positive. It seems like it's going to be a really fun movie. Like, it just looks like everyone's going to have fun with it. You just got a great cast of characters. And just for all those, it's, to me, I think it might actually be even better cast of characters than Avengers, because these are all new, brand new characters that didn't get the chance to have that lineup of getting every individual story. So you kind of get to see all these people just put together and just see it. And due to the fact that two of the characters are going to be CGI, and you have to see how everyone's going to interact with that. So what do you think of the trailer? What was your favorite kind of part of it? What did you like about it?
Well, what I'm really like about it too, and if you pause it, I think it's at like 156. You can actually see a really good picture of Nebula.
Uh-huh.
She's in it. Like, they show her makeup scheme, and obviously, like, with it being a trailer, they're just kind of going flash.
Yeah.
So you actually get to, if you slow down and look at some of the things, you get to see Gamora with her blades, Raccoon on Groot, which is kind of how they've done it in the comics. You get to see actually a scene with Drax where he hits a guy and he actually does go flying. So they're giving him like kind of like that bulk and that
strength.
Yeah,
well, technically, I mean, the backstory, if a lot of people don't know, with Drax is basically Thanos has murdered his family. So his pretty much goal throughout this entire, pretty much the saga of in the entire Guardians of the Galaxy is he basically, and I think there has been some comics where him and Thanos pretty much go toe to toe.
Yeah. And actually, it looks like there's a scene too coming up. It looks like Benicio del Toro's in it at 201.
Yeah,
the shot of him, and it looks like he's in the collector's room because it shows all these screens with all these things going
on.
Yeah,
so of course, if you did not see Thor: The Dark World, they are tying everything in together. Which there's also been rumors that are coming out with the new Captain America movie where they talk about Quill,
right?
Star-Lord. You know, and all this kind of stuff. So they are tying everything together. Of course, they have to, because with the Infinity Gauntlet.
And they show a scene with him wearing the helmet. They show the Nova helmet.
Yeah, I love that fact that Star-Lord's wearing that cool helmet.
So I'm pretty impressed. Like, the riot scene alone looks pretty cool. Like, it shows, like, Groot, like, hitting a guy, and then it shows, like, I'm just kind of zooming it, like, clicking it a little bit here and there to kind of see what they're showing. But, yeah, basically, it looks like a prison break. Pratt looks good. Like, it looks like he got really bulked up for it. It'll be interesting to see how they come together. And, again, like I said, I've never read the comic of them specifically. I never went to the store and was just like, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. Only through, like, the other movies did I start learning about them and who they were. And I know that there's, like, there's a whole other, like, timeline dealing with them. There's, like, the whole, like, multiverse. They start dealing into that. I think it kind of comes from, if you think about it, more like in DC, they have the infinite Earths.
Yes.
Like, there's all those Earths everywhere, and everyone's a little different, and things like that. That's why you have all these crossovers, like, oh, a bad Superman, a good Superman, a Superman lives underwater.
Well, what they're doing is Marvel is putting all their universes together, because technically Guardians of the Galaxy actually takes place in a completely different...
And that's kind of what I thought,
like, universe. But this is, they're really tying, like, Disney and Marvel are really tying everything together, which I think they're doing actually a beautiful job of it.
Right. Because that way, yeah, like, all of it is all-encompassing. And that's what I think is, like, you have to kind of do that at some point, is, like, you know, if you had... what's his name, like Mixoplex in a DC movie, like you'd have to go into that whole aspect of things. And then if you had like the Night Owl character who was like the Batman and the other, like if you want to tie into things, it gets a little convoluted and it actually gets really just insane if you really think about the whole idea of like multiverses over and over and over.
Kyle and I will be posting this is basically everything's tying together with Guardians of the Galaxy. I want to talk about, before we get into our character spotlight, we want to talk about a man Kyle posted this about, I had no idea about, so we're definitely going to post this link and we're going to ask everybody to go ahead and donate to this. One of the co-creator, Bill Mantoloy.
Yeah, and you can find this article. It was on Bleeding Cool, and actually I heard about it from the guys from Ash Avenue Comics because I had visited them. We kind of talked about them on the show. Had posted a link to this guy, and it's almost kind of like the Bill Finger story, where it's like the guy comes out, creates some really cool characters, you're kind of like, cool, great, but you never really give it much thought afterwards.
Yeah, you know, afterwards.
And unfortunately, what it is one of the creators of Rocket Raccoon, his name is Bill Mantlow. He was a writer. He was the co-creator. As far as we understand, is that the character was created back in 1976, it was co-created by Bill Mantlow, who was the artist, I guess, and he was the writer. Bill Coffin is the guy who documented, I guess, what had happened was... A few years ago, I guess Mantlow was struck by a car, hit and run driver.
Yeah, it looked like it was hit and run driver. 1992.
It was about 92, and he's suffered traumatic brain injury so much to the point that he's been hospitalized and has all these bills and has really no understanding that his thing has gone off to become a huge success.
Huge thing, yeah.
He basically did the work, wrote for it. He wrote for a whole bunch of other characters too. Like if you can find any of Bill Mantlow's work, I'm talking like Green Lantern. You're going to find stuff with Sinestro that he did. You're going to find stuff in DC, Marvel, like all the universes. You're going to find him in everywhere.
That's the one thing I really like about the comic book community is like people will leave DC, go to Marvel,
back and forth. Yeah,
back
it's just...
and forth. They'll either draw for both things. Heck, they might even go to Dark Horse for a couple of issues and different things.
Exactly, because they just want to write. They just want to create.
Yeah, they just want to write and they want to create. So, but yeah, we'll definitely post this thing, but definitely there's a donation going on.
Yeah, he also was co-creator of like Cloak and Dagger. He did stuff for the Hulk, for ROM. Rocket Raccoon, all these types of things. So there's a donate button on a page, and we'll send you the link to it, and we'll post it, obviously. We're basically just donate. If you feel generous, you can donate for him. It's basically to cover the cost of their ongoing care. The donations are actually run by Bill's brother, Mike, and it's basically just to make sure he's well taken care of for the rest of his days. You know, I want him to be comfortable.
Yeah.
It looks like he has, like, issues with – he's paralyzed. He has brain issues.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost – you know, it's just very sad because, obviously, he was a brilliant-minded creator, really
obviously,
cool character.
And look at this. It's like probably never in his longest life did he ever think that this would become a movie.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. He never would have seen his character on the screen.
Never seen his character on the screen. And he might not even get to because of whatever
his conditions
he has. So we'll definitely put this up. I'm always supportive of this kind of stuff. I hate when this tragic things kind of happen to, you know, and it's just, this is another reason why I'm kind of an atheist, because I'm like, why do good things happen to, you know, bad things happen to good people, you know, and pricks get.
Well, see, that the beauty of it is too, is like with something like this is like, you can be the hero. Like you folks at home can donate to this man and actually like, yeah, it sucks that this happened to him. But look what he gave you. He gave you Rocket Raccoon that now everyone's like thrilled about. So you could give him something, like you could help him out in a way,
I mean,
and then that way it's kind of coming full circle. So, you know, we always hope that in our time of need, somebody would be there for us, and here we go, like it's his time of need, you know, where are those fans to help him out? So let's help, you know, all pitch in and
we'll
kind of help him out.
Yeah, definitely, support him and all that good stuff. So we'll definitely put the donation page up, we'll probably keep promoting this.
Definitely
talk about the website and everything like that. But without further ado, I was the guy who got to pick the
Steve got the character
of the week, so I decided to go with Rocket Raccoon. So, a.k.a., I guess he goes by Rocket.
Yeah.
His first appearance was in Marvel Previews number 7 of summer 1967.
Oh, yeah.
The powers of Rocket Raccoon are possibly the normal attributes of an Earth raccoon, including speed, which he been additionally amplified by his training, an acute sense of smell, sight, hearing, and touch. He's accomplished starship pilot, an excellent marksman, and with two laser pistols he carries, as well as having an affinity for heavy weapons.
Right.
He also is an excellent military tactics and leader attributes that help him take charge of Guardians of the Galaxy when Star-Lord is unavailable.
Oh, neat.
I'm guessing his weaknesses are anything that could kill us, normal.
Pretty much,
yeah.
He's still vulnerable. You get shot in the face and
the story behind the character was created by Bill Mantloid that we just talked about, and Keith Griffin. Was actually inspired by a classic Beatles song called Rocky Raccoon, which includes a reference to the Gideon Bible.
Oh, the Gideon's Bible?
The Gideon's Bible, okay. In the Marvel Universe was a book that contained the sum and knowledge of the Looney's Colony. Rocket Raccoon's first appearance was in Marvel, of course, preview number 7, summer of 1976. In his backup feature, The Sword in the Star, he was a subsequently appearance in The Incredible Hulk number 271, May 1982. In 1985, he received his own 4-issue limited series, and afterwards to the first issue, Mantlo himself, artist, that...
I guess he asserted that it was a character.
The same character seen in previews. Penciled by Mike Mignola, by Al Gordon and Al Milgrone. Rocket appeared in the 1990 issue of Quasar, number 15. He later appeared in the issue of She-Hulk in 1992, number 44 and number 46, as a prisoner on the Skrull ship.
And that's cool that they're all tying, like, again, it keeps tying itself back in.
Rocket Raccoon was seen again in the 2007 Annihilation Conquest and Annihilation Conquest Star-Lord Limited Edition, their series spinoff, and involved the new volume of the Guardians of the Galaxy. He remains a regular member of the series cast until it was canceled with number 25 in 2010. He also appeared in a follow-up limited edition, The Thanos Imperative, along with the fellow Guardian Groot. Rocket starred in backup features of The Annihilators, number 1 through 4, March of June 2001, and The Annihilators Earthfall, numbers 1 through 4, September, December 2011. Rocket Raccoon, along with the other members of the Guardians of the Galaxy, in issues number 4 and 8 of Avengers Assemble, a series of trilogy, as the jumping on point for the fans of the film The Avengers. He appears prominently in Guardians of the Galaxy number volume 3 and part of Marvel Now relaunch. Also, a couple of sites. So Rocket Raccoon has also been featured in a few of the Marvel video games. His first, one of his latest appearances was in Marvel Legos. He was actually a character you can play as, and he's voiced by John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender and Jake the Dog. And also, he's featured as a playable character in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, which was basically the reboot where they added a couple of new characters. So Rocket Raccoon is a character in that. I was very surprised when they picked, of course, as everyone knows, Bradley Cooper will be playing Rocket Raccoon's voice, and also, I believe, doing the motion capture for his face likeness.
Oh, nice.
The motion capture is actually going to be done by the director's brother of Rocket Raccoon. And also, I found out that the director actually studied a bunch of raccoons to get most of the facial expressions, some of the stuff that he does. So he is going to have some of those attributes of a real-life raccoon. Really cool part is every time Rocket Raccoon has been featured in anything where he needed a voice, most people who voiced him gave him a Cockney accent. So I was very surprised when they picked Bradley Cooper, and Bradley Cooper decided to just do a regular voice for him.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. But
that was so good. I'm looking at artwork right now, too. If you get a chance, go ahead and just Google artwork by Rocket Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
I see one here that was done by Mignola. Looks really sweet. I did see the one that you were talking about Scotty Young. And there's a guy by Clayton Crane did a really cool piece. There's also one by Mike Mignola, which I'm looking at right now, which has got Groot in the background. It looks really slick. And then, of course, one of my favorite artists, Joe Madureira, actually does one with him and Gamora. And it's a really slick piece because it shows him, like, pencil it and then he inked it. And then, of course, like, it's been colored recently and it looks really cool. And I think a lot of these artists are doing it for their promotion of the movie. So you can then, I think, try and buy
them. I just found my favorite picture. It's Rocket Raccoon on the back of Deadpool.
Oh, man.
So Rocket Raccoon is also featured on the cover of the Deadpool Wedding.
Oh, nice.
If you have not seen that yet. But, yeah, I hopefully will be seeing – I actually was been thinking about drawing Rocket Raccoon myself, try to get an idea, maybe draw some concept artists and things like that. But,
and it looks like, I guess the Marvel game, the Marvel Universe they did, he's also in that too, wearing his famous outfit, and he's got like a revolver. There's a little gif you can see of him in that as well.
Oh, I think I just found another better picture. So it's Rocket Raccoon going around a corner, and right behind a bush with the power glove is Rigby.
Oh, nice.
From regular show. So, yeah, I love the character. I think there's one as Rigby as Rocket Raccoon. So there we go.
And I guess also if you ever watched What was it? The Avengers Assemble?
Yes.
The cartoon. There's actually a one they did where it's got Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, and Groot. They're actually in their uniforms, and they're drawn in that animation style that's on that show.
Oh, very
cool. So I guess there's an episode with them in that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to all this kind of stuff. So, but, of course, we're talking about not only will we pretty much mostly just been dissecting the Guardians of the Galaxy, what we like, what we don't like. There's going to also be, we'll have some other, we get some other news for you guys. So we're still waiting for the Batsuit.
Yeah, it was interesting because like they were talking about it like within last show we talked about, they were saying within the next few days we should see the costumes. And even they said the Superman costume is going to get some tweaks to it, like just minor tweaks, but enough to make it like, oh, that makes more sense.
It's just going
to
have an F on it.
Yeah, like F-U. Yeah, exactly. FB. Facebook. Oh, he's Facebook.
Oh, he's Facebook. Well, oh, hey, you know what? Because
of... That's true. Eisenberg.
Zuckerberg is going to be in the movie now.
What's my name? Eisenberg. You're damn right.
Mother.
But yeah, so they were talking about the costume coming out, and then now they say that it's been pushed back until about March or so before we get announced. And I wouldn't be surprised if like they went to do it, and then of course Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and then they're like, oh, like we don't want to compete with that. But that's the beauty of it is like, you know, just show it already. I say if you already have the costumes out, show it, because one, you're either going to get fans to either be like, yay, I'm on board,
yeah,
or be boo, I hate this, you suck. Because like prime example, Ninja Turtles movie, you and I were both kind of like, all right, we'll wait and see. And now the toys have shown and we've seen what they look like, and we're both like, fuck.
Yeah, Michael Bay, I'm making it my life goal to make your life a little hell.
I'm going
to
kick your
butt. I will
butt.
Find you. I will catch you.
And I will turn you into a Ninja Turtle.
And I will make you stop making movies.
Exactly, yeah.
What is this? The worst number one copy of The Walking Dead still sells for $754?
Yeah, so basically, you know how there's the rating system on comics with Mint? They put them in a package and like they can have anywhere from a 10-star rating to like a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has a 0.5 rating, and when you look at the image of it,
yeah,
it's completely
it
like somebody just rolled it up in their back pocket, it got crinkled up, damaged. But because it's only it's a number one issue, it's still sold for almost $800. Because it's still just the first issue. And that's what they were saying. They were talking about the depreciation of comics, where like that I've seen on the Comic Book Men show on AMC, where sometimes people bring in comics, and even though it's like, oh, the first appearance of She-Hulk or first appearance of this, and they are worth some money, you know, yellowing of the comic, tears in the book, drawing, anyone ever writes on it, like a friend of yours, you know, to James from your friend, you know, whatever happens to it, a lot of times they will get a lower rating, even though it is a first issue. And sometimes it's a shame because like people are like, oh, but this is the first issue. Like I thought I was going to make bank on this. And it's like, yeah, but you know, if it was first issue mint condition, yeah, you can make some good money. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Like there was like an issue they had with there's a ring, Superman Club ring that you could get. And one sold mint online for about $10,000.
Wow.
Well, then someone brought that exact same ring. And you could tell it was the ring, but it was like, it looked like it got either wet, so it was all distorted, it got melted a little bit, it had like scuffs and things. And because of all those things, like the ring wasn't even worth like the metal it was made on, because it was just like it was so unrecognizable and it was so distorted that it was not even valuable anymore. So that's kind of what's interesting about this, is that someone has a comic book, number one issue of Walking Dead, completely destroyed it. You know, they enjoyed it. It got crinkled, right? Maybe it got wet, whatever. They then went to somebody to appraise it. Someone did appraise it and said, you know what, to be honest, this is a 0.5. Like, you're not even a 1. This is how poor condition it is. Guy says, okay, that's fine. So they seal it up, say, cool, you want to preserve it? We'll preserve it. Bam, does it. Brings it to a place to sell it, and sure enough got like still almost $800 for it, because somebody out there still wanted it regardless of the condition. So I mean, it's interesting to think, like, you would think with a 0.5 rating that maybe it'd be like a couple bucks. I'll pay $10, $20 just because it is the first issue and it's kind of like nice. But other than that, it's really got no value to it because it's such poor condition. But still, because fans, there's so many fans out there now, and people who are just like, oh man, I want to have a copy of this, they're going out there and buying it. And I remember going to the store and buying a loose leaf issue. I think it was issue 4 or 5 of The Walking Dead, flipping through it and being like, yeah, it's not bad. You know, I was like, I get it. It's kind of like this horror conflict. And I remember at the time it was weird because there was like 2 or 3 other zombie books out at the same time. It was like The Walking Dead was one and these other ones. And it wasn't until like a year or two later that they finally had the graphic novels out, and that's what I like to pick up. So I ended up working at Bookman's, and they had like all of them come in, so I could just check them out and like read them while I was, you know, working there. And that's how I got caught up to, I think I only got caught up to about the prison and everything that happened at the prison. And then now I'm in the same boat with the rest of the folks at home when you're watching, going like, okay, who's this character? So it's cool though, because I like that because of the hype of the show, it's really picked up and it's made it even more popular. But it's just interesting to see how like something that is truly worth nothing, it actually has value because obviously there's enough people out there who enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't surprise me if it was a Preacher, since that got just picked up by AMC, if those comics are
going to start going off the shelf too.
So, but yeah, one thing I noticed, of course, we were talking about all the upcoming toy fairs.
Yeah.
Now, this was an interesting one that I found toying around. Basically, this was from the Comic Book Resources they were talking about. So most of the stuff they're showing was a lot of Marvel stuff. So they show, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy toys, which I think is funny. But one of the weirdest toys that I saw on Guardians of the Galaxy, and I don't know if they just threw it in there just because they are
on the toy line or something,
the toy line or whatnot. But they have Nova,
right?
Which is a Marvel character as well. He's featured right now in the Ultimate Spider-Man TV show. He's like, they're all teenagers though, but Nova is one of the characters on there. And yes, I know Nova does take place in the starting of the galaxy and stuff like that. They even have the Iron Man Guardians of the Galaxy as well. So I don't know if this is just for them to get more toy sales or
could be. Yeah, because I even see they got like masks and they even got the guns now.
Yeah, they got the mask, which is cool. So they have the Star-Lord mask, but my favorite mask right now is the Rocket Raccoon one. I think it's freaking hilarious. Scrolling down more, they got Amazing Spider-Man toys that are coming out. A lot of the
Falcon out for the
they got the Falcon for the Captain America Winter Soldier. They have
new Transformers,
Transformers Dinobots. As well. Optimus Prime looks a lot different.
He looks more of a slicker version
of like the old school.
Dinobots don't look too bad.
The Dinobots look great. Like, look, I'm probably still going to see the movie because it's got the Dinobots in it and see whatnot. They have a whole bunch of new Star Wars toys that are going to be coming out as well. And then
Joker though.
Yeah, the Joker. This is also a prototype because they're still waiting for the Panda, but it's basically Heath Ledger Joker. Looks really good.
Yeah, he's got like the blue jeans.
They also have a bunch of toys that I don't know if they're just doing old school versions, but they got Marty McFly and Doc Brown. They have Snake from Escaping New York and all this kind of stuff. They also have some Goonie toys coming out, The Crow, some Nightmare Before Christmas, some Predator stuff. But the weirdest ones that I saw here was the Pulp Fiction toys, which I thought was funny. So they have Samuel Jackson, but the best one is the Gimp and the Bruce Willis toy put together.
Oh, nice.
Also, they have Rocketeer, Terminator. Now, these are all kind of old school basic looking toys. Like, they remind me of the toys that we kind of grew up with when they were first coming out. They didn't really have too much like opposable members or stuff like that. So I don't know if this is just like a classic or they're just showing off toys that were created and just never picked up or what's going on with that. So, but yeah, these are just some of the cool toys that were coming out. So I don't know. That's speculation again with all the toys. They're showing you all these things for Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I know they did that with Iron Man for the longest time. They gave you like Iron Man with all these different suits and you're like, he only wore two suits in the movie, but this is what they do to sell their toys. Of course, we've also been talking about the all-new Ghost Rider.
Yeah, you were just mentioning it to me today, and I just saw the photo.
So it looks like he gets a Fast and a Furious look. So he looks like he's kind of like in a kind of like a racer suit.
Right.
And it looks like his new vehicle is going to be a muscle car.
Yeah, and I guess I was reading it, too. Somebody right on the bottom said here, like, it looks like Racer X from
Speed Racer.
And then somebody else is like, oh, I don't like the looking of it. But then again, when you look up top, it's basically because number one, Ghost Rider, it's an all new rider. It's not it's not the Daredevil. You know, this is somebody completely new. So
which makes sense because they have done that before, because obviously there's different writers. I mean, look at, as much as everyone hates the Ghost Rider movies, I did like the old school Ghost Rider that kind of teaches him a little bit of stuff and things like that, because he's played by I forgot his name, but the dude who narrated pretty much for Big Lebowski.
Oh, right.
That guy. So, but yeah, so Ghost Rider's getting a new Ghost Rider, basically. There was also something in here that
with a new Daredevil, too. Yeah,
there's a new Daredevil. But before we skip over that, I wanted to talk about, you were talking about, I guess, Peter Parker is coming back.
Right. So I remember like about 13 months ago, there was a big story, and it only made news because they were talking about how they were killing off a character.
Yes.
That tends to be only when news reporters really talk about when they're starting to kill off like Captain America or Superman. And so what happened with Spider-Man is that basically Doc Ock took over his brain, swapped their bodies because Doc Ock's body was dying on him.
Yeah.
And as far as we understood it, was like Parker was dead. Like, he actually met Uncle Ben in like a lidded like cloud escape, and that was it. Like, we thought, oh my God. And then this whole time, it was like Doc Ock's brain in Parker's body.
Yes.
And then like it was this whole weird thing where it's like, well, him and Mary Jane were hooking up and all this other stuff. And it was kind of like, okay, well, could that be considered almost like a rape fantasy?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were like really kind of weirded out by it. And so finally, like, they literally, and he said, like, the hardest thing that Dan Slott had to do, who was the writer, he got a lot of shit for it on Twitter. Like, a lot of people were, like, giving him, like, all, like, for a while. And he started, like, really hamming it up, being like, oh, yeah, like, you know, like, I'm really threatened by you guys. Like, I made one of the best decisions, and now the book is actually all sold. And he said a good valid point. A lot of people haven't really given a crap about Peter for years. Like, no one's really, like, oh, Peter Parker, you know. No one really cared. Like, when they made him in Ultimates, they killed him in Ultimates, and no one really gave a hoot, and they made a new kid. And a lot of people liked the new kid because it was like, oh, cool, something different.
Yeah.
So he says, like, I thought it was a good move. So I guess what they're saying now is in the 13th issue, and he said the hardest thing he had to do is when kids would come up to him with, like, tears in their eyes and be like, did you really kill off Spider-Man? Like, is Peter Parker dead? And he'd have to look at them cold face and be like, yeah, I killed him. Like, that's it. He had to lie to these kids because he said, like, his plan was to always bring Parker back.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, where we're at now. It's, like, the 13th month, the issue is called 700, like, point, like, 4 or 5, I think is what the issue's number is. And they said that's actually when, like, it's going to come back. And they said, but there's going to be a twist to it where, either, like, he's going to come back and Doc Ock's always going to be in the back of his mind. Mm. Or they're speculating that because of the events that Peter had done throughout the run of him being Doc Ock, like, he's going to have to now atone for some of those things, and obviously it wasn't him, so, like, how do you say, no, that wasn't me when it was, you know, like, kind of thing, so we'll see how they go with that. So it'll be neat to see that's coming out, hopefully sometime this, within the next couple months here.
Yeah, probably either the next month or probably April issue. Of course, speaking of Spider-Man and everything like that, the new Green Goblin, people finally found stills of what he looks like, and I'm not too sure. It looks like he's painted his face green, and he's got the crazy hair going for the new Harry Osborn. Now, there's been, again, speculation with this, too. Everyone's been saying that they think that it's going to be...
Almost looks like William Dafoe, too.
Yeah, it's like the new kid. So basically, Harry Osborn in this one is supposed to be Green Goblin, which, of course, Harry Osborn does take up the mantle of Green Goblin once he finds out everything that is...
It depends on which scenario, though, because in some stories, Harry killed himself due to drug overdose.
Yes.
And then, like, that it was always Norman. Norman was always
always... But this is the thing, though. A lot of people think that there might be a twist where everyone's thinking that it is the child who is... Green Goblin, but it turns out it is Norman Osborn, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm glad that they're deciding to do, like, showing you the facial.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have, like, the helmet.
Yeah,
like
the helmet. See, that was the problem I had with William Dafoe. He was a great Green Goblin. He had such a face for it. And then you, like, the best part in that Spider-Man movie is when he's talking
to the mirror,
with the mirror, and you can see where he's like, he's Norman Osborn going like, no, I can't do this, and then it turns around and has
he
him
just
with
make that,
that
face,
that
yeah,
face, and you're just like, if you would have thrown the makeup on him and did it like that, it would have been such a better Green Goblin. It's like you made him look like a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I know there is a shot you can find of the San Raimi where they actually did try a makeup, like they did a thing, and it actually did look slick. But what's also interesting, if you look at the mask that the San Raimi used for him, the helmet.
Yeah.
Then go look back at Army of Darkness. He has a gargoyle creature who picks up the girl. It's literally the same face. Like, so literally he was just doing what he knew. And obviously, like, that's like to him, that's like, oh, that's a goblin. Like, so I'm going to use that.
But
so,
I mean,
but and I kind of like how they're like, yeah, there is no helmet anymore. It's kind of just like a crazy guy with makeup, or maybe his skin even
changes
green or
whatever. Yeah, when he becomes
a green
goblin.
So it'll be neat to see how they do. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we have to wait and see because this comes out in May, I believe.
Yeah.
You saw the first Amazing Spider-Man, right?
I did. And I did also, once I saw the trailer, the longer trailer for this that came out, where it showed him swinging and Electro trying to hit him. It was actually premiered at the Lego Movie.
Yes.
It showed, like, the full-on trailer, and I was very much like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I'm liking it.
And there's a really good part in it, too, because it's, like, it opens up with, like, a joke where literally Aunt May is, I guess, trying to come in, and he's, like,
He's
like,
got covered
stuff.
In dust.
And she's like, what were you doing? He's like, cleaning the chimney. And she's like, we don't have a chimney. And he's just like, what?
Yeah, well,
this is the thing.
It's funny because a lot of people are giving Andrew Garfield shit. They're like, I hate him as Spider-Man. I think he did great because, don't get me wrong, I liked the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. So
yeah,
don't get me wrong,
Tobey Parker was good.
Tobey Maguire was great.
Oh, that's
but
right.
I love that they brought the wit back to Spider-Man. Like, he's very good at it. Like, especially in the first movie, he's like, oh no, a knife, my weakness, and something. He takes out the guy. The only problem I had with Amazing Spider-Man, and this is where I always have to go into detail, I like the movie. It was a really good movie. I think it was a really good V-bet. The only problem I had with it just took too long to get to where it needed to get to. Like, in the first Spider-Man movie, it was literally like boom, 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 boom. Don't get me wrong. I like the fact that it showed how he built his web shooters.
And went
back to him being intelligent and stuff like that. I think that was great because that's how Spider-Man
is. And obviously,
is.
This is dealing more with a plot with his parents and Norman. It's like
that
so more
it's
depth
have Norman,
to it.
But it even it's setting – I know what they're doing with this movie. They're not only introducing us with three new villains – Two villains we have never seen before, Rhino and...
On the big screen, at least.
On the big screen, yeah. Rhino and Electro. You're giving us another Green Goblin, which is understandable. You can't really have Spider-Man without a Green Goblin. But you're setting up for everything else, where the guy's walking through that thing, and you see all the stuff in the background. You see the Scorpion suit. You see the...
you see the Vulture wings.
You see the Vulture wings and stuff. Yes, they are setting it up for Sinister Six, what I think would be a beautiful film. You know, Sinister Six and Spider-Man, all of his greatest films. And I think if you do it right, he's battling the Sinister Six, and what does he get during the battle?
Yeah, then he finds the suit or whatever.
Suit, and it helps.
I think that would be great. Like, he's investigating Norman, and he finds, like, this alien symbiote that's just kind of in a jar somewhere. And he's like, what the hell is this, you know?
And then, like, something happens. It breaks. He doesn't know where it goes. It turns out it's on him. He doesn't know. He leaves. And then that's the thing. He's fighting. Because one of the coolest comics that
I think that would have been good, too, is, like, have it open up where it's, like, maybe they're trying to contain it. That shows people with like flames, like, oh, God, it's getting out. It's getting out. And just showing like it attacking people. And like, that's what happens. Like, they're trying to contain it. And then like, that's how it happens. Like, Parker's just there trying to stop the Six and happens to just like, literally, like, oh, it would almost be funny if he just like stepped in it.
Well,
like, as he was running or something.
Actually,
like,
I think the best, this is what they need to do. They need to actually take a page from some of the comic strips, the comic books as well. What they need to do is, Sinister Six shows up, Spider-Man's a normal Spider-Man.
Yeah, gets his butt kicked.
Gets his butt kicked and everything like that. Then the symbiote happens. And the coolest thing that I loved about one of these comics was Peter Parker goes to sleep.
Right.
The symbiote takes over
and
battles the Sinister Six. And the coolest part is he doesn't talk or anything because Peter Parker's asleep and the symbiote is just like wailing on everybody and stuff like that. And then he wakes up the next day, sees in the newspaper the Sinister Six has been captured, and he's like, by Spider-Man, he's going like what? And
yeah,
then
like, huh?
Like, then it starts triggering. Like, I think that would be such a cool thing to see. You know?
I think also too, like, I remember in the animated show when they were first getting into the whole Venom thing and the old one, it was like Spider-Man. Well, that one I liked a lot because he fights Rhino and he beats Rhino up, and Rhino's like, you know, okay, fine, I give up. Like, and he's like, who said about giving up? And he picks up like a car to smash him, and he's like, no. Like, even like, he was like, what the hell's going on? And so you could tell like it was starting to affect him. So that's why I'd like to see more as opposed to the emo.
Yeah, we saw.
I would like to see him being more like angry, especially with Gwen's in it.
Yeah, because the part in that movie is when he literally grabs Eddie Brock and throws him up against the thing. He's like, you want to start something? And everybody in the newsroom is like, oh god. And it's like that kind of like, you know, thing is like taking over him. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to the Amazing Spider-Man 2. I mean, Marvel's got a lot of films coming out. You start off in April with Captain America. I believe in May you got Spider-Man and also the X-Men movie.
You got
Guardians in August. So
then you'll have like whatever trailers they're gonna show
for
other
and
movies,
even all that stuff at the end of all Marvel films now. Yeah. So you're gonna have a lot of big things going on. So
definitely it's a good time to be a fan of comics, because obviously that's what I love, is like it's gone from maybe you'd see a Batman movie every once in a while to like all these other action movies. Now it's like
a
new
superhero
movie
every year, and not
every 6 months almost.
And not even just one, because
we had Thor.
Yeah, we just had Thor,
and then it's like bam, like
now
we have.
Now we're getting the Captain America. It's well, not even that. We had the Iron Man 3
that
summer. Then we had Thor. So it's like they're really building upon this, which I think is great. Now, one of the things I just saw on the Bleeding Cool thing, apparently the cast for the Fantastic Four movie has been picked.
And I actually kind of agree with this. Like, it's like, okay, I can see where they're
going. I have no idea who any of these people are. So that
which is also
a good thing. So Miles Teller is going to be Reed Richards.
Yeah.
We'll definitely post this link on the website so you can actually see the pictures. You got Kate Mara as Sue Storm.
Okay.
James Bell as Ben Grimm, and they finally decided to go with this with the Human Torch. A lot of people have been kind of like, "Why are you doing this? Sue and him are supposed to be brothers." I'm like, "Can't they be adopted?"
Yeah, why not?
Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. Now, of course, when I say the name, you might know him or you might not know him. It's basically an African American gentleman.
What? I was going to think Michael Jordan.
So he's going to be the Human Torch, which I think is going to be great.
And I think that would add to it, because, like, think about it, like, streetwise, you know, I think it's a good move. Because, like I said, like, what I heard about the rumor has it, what it is that him and the astronaut go.
Yes.
This is the Reeds and his
Reeds
astronaut friend go.
And Ben.
They get caught, exposed, they have this thing, and they're actually trying to fix it. They're trying to fix Ben, you know, get him not to be the thing anymore. But they're also actually working with NASA and the government, and they're doing tests on them, and nothing bad. Like, they're giving themselves up to science to kind of help everyone and figure out what happened. But in the course of them finding this out, guess who visits? The Sue and them, because she's a doc, visit. Her brother visits, and, like, something happens, and then they become a cause of it.
Yes.
What I like about that dynamic is, like, obviously they become a team. It's like, yay, it works out really well. But what I really like about it is then, like, she's going to have resentment. Because look what you did to me.
Yes.
Like, this is what you did to me and my brother. And, like, obviously if he enjoys it and she doesn't, like, you're going to always have that, like, you know, aspect of it, which I think is cool. Like, it adds another layer to it that I don't think anyone existed. So when you think about it, like, you go up to the space and you all get exposed to this stuff and have this horrible things.
Well,
that,
the smartest thing they used to do, what they did in the original comic book, it was Ben Grimm went up there because he was a pilot. He was an astronaut. Reed goes up there because obviously he's a scientist. Sue goes up there because he's an assistant. Why they bring the brother along, who's like a daredevil anyways, I'm like, did not make any sense to me.
Yeah, did they just need an extra, we got to weigh out the ship.
So we'll see what happens. I'm wondering if they're actually going to do CGI with the thing, because to me, I thought the thing was pretty much almost the same size as the Incredible Hulk.
That's kind of what I was wondering too, because I always thought, like, I did like how they did it with the in the one that they did with Fox, with it was Chris Evans as Torch, and they did like the commish was you know, the thing.
Yeah,
I didn't mind that because like he still was built up, and I liked like the effects that they did when he like rams the truck and stuff. So I did enjoy it. Like, they could still do that. But yeah, I, as far as I was understood, he's like short, but he's like very wide.
Yeah, I thought he was like, he's very bulky. He's supposed to be bigger than everybody else in the Fantastic Four, but I thought he was almost the same size.
Yeah, like as the Hulk. Where I felt like in this version, the Hulk was more. Hulk was kind of like proportionally big. Like, he was tall, but then he also was like built.
Well, technically, the Hulk is supposed to be like 7 foot tall, I think, is the most.
Where I always thought, like, when you look at the photos, like, I always thought that the thing was a little shorter than him, but they were both like the same.
Yeah, but they're both
girth.
The same, like, girth. They were both up there. So, because, I mean, you've seen the thing take on, like, Abomination and kind of stuff. So, I mean, he can hold his own ground.
Yeah,
like, so
they're basically the same. They can both do the thing, you know, where they can both hit each other.
So nothing big with that. Of course, I found this. I guess they're doing a new Daredevil revamp. I don't know if it's a new storyline or
a new. Yeah, his costume looks pretty much the same. I don't really see much of a difference. Maybe new powers, and maybe they'll relate to the Ninja Turtles.
It looks like Scotty Young is going to be attached to this as well, doing maybe some of the inking or drawing illustrations the new book. So we got to look forward to that. Like, this is the thing. I was talking about this. Now, there's certain movies that are coming out that I don't like. Why are we giving these people a movie? Daredevil, you said you did enjoy the Ben Affleck one.
If you watch the director's cut, it makes for a better movie.
And no offense, I go, Daredevil to me, I've never felt needed a movie. This is one of those comic book characters that I felt that Netflix is doing a great job of actually giving it a series. I think it would do better as a series.
Right. I feel a lot of heroes would do better as a series than a big motion
picture.
The same
thing I feel about Ant-Man. I do not think Ant-Man needs his own movie.
You could do Wasp and Ant-Man in a series.
I really could care less about this character. I think Luke Cage getting his own series is going to be great. Iron Fist getting his own. These are things that you can build on and then move it into...
Yeah.
The movie.
And then what I like about it is you can then tie it all in together with one another.
Exactly,
because they all live in the same
area.
It's
all in the same universe. So those are just certain things that I feel like these should not be like. Even Ghost Rider, I think Ghost Rider would be in a perfect series.
Yeah, it would have been like if it was television.
Because you could do like a supernatural kind of thing. It's like, you know,
every so often.
Basically take the concept of the movie where like he can only become the Ghost Rider at night.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. But during the day, he can do other stuff. He's figuring out, you know.
Maybe he's like, does more detective work or whatever.
Yeah, a detective worker kind of thing. Or even like, you know, things happen during the day.
Yeah, like every episode shows him pulling into a town somewhere, and it's about him trying to find out like what was this creature in this town or whatever.
Stuff like
that,
you know, he gets sent on a mission. I think that would be a great series and stuff. And that's the same thing I feel with the DC universe, is like they are doing that. Obviously, I don't like Arrow. Yes, I know a lot of people love Arrow. Look, I have no problem with it. You want to watch Arrow? Watch Arrow. Me, I can't get behind this series. I'm sorry. I hopefully can get behind the Flash.
Whatever
series.
You fear, fear me equally, if not greater than.
Yeah, but there's just certain things that I feel like.
It's the worst commercial pitch for Arrow I've ever seen. It's like the CW because they do that, like, I love it. And it shows him like about to shoot an arrow, and then when he shoots the arrow, like somebody from like another show catches an arrow or something. I don't know. But he says that. He's like, whatever you fear, fear me more. And it's like, seriously? Like, that's your battle cry? I would just be like, here's an arrow in your face, fucker.
I mean,
come on,
Batman. I'm vengeance. I'm the night. I'm Batman. Yeah.
It's like, I'm fucking Batman.
I'm going to shit my pants.
Yeah, like, oh shit. Well, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, too. It was like, not to shit my pants, but with Batman, when like think about it, like the more I've been thinking about it, like if he was in the blue and gray, like let's say they go with that, imagine that, a giant guy, because Ben Affleck's pretty tall and stuff, lands in front of you in blue and gray and tells you like, stay out of drugs or whatever. You'd freak the fuck out. A guy shooting arrows at you, you're just gonna be like, oh my god, it's terrorist shooting arrows at me.
Yeah, it's
like,
basically that's like, and it's not even like the traditional Green Arrow where like he knows martial arts.
Yeah,
he
shoots
like those arrows are not supposed to kill people. That's
they're supposed to like tranquilizers.
Like putting people down.
You're
like,
just supposed to be like Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's like, I don't understand.
But you're not Hawkeye. You're a murderer.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It's like, he is a murderer in that show.
Whatever you fear,
fear me more. Wait, did he say whatever we beer him more? No, it said fear.
Daddy Ice.
Rear? Daddy, what? I
can't hear you.
Ow! Why'd you shoot me with the narrow?
No one can understand what you're saying. Yeah, no one understands. Enunciate your words.
I'm not going to take you guys from a guy like that.
Shuff. Okay, Batman falls down from the sky, grabs you and says, "Shut up, you're going to jail." Yeah, I'd probably shit my pants.
Yeah, I'd be like,
okay.
All right. You got
I get shot with an arrow. I'm going, well, today I might die.
I'm going to die.
Of course, we did have some people answer the question of the
week. Yeah. Our question this week was, or actually a couple weeks, was what is your favorite webcomic? Steve and I kind of went on a tangent last week and talked about all the ones we like.
Until we discovered Michael Bay's.
Michael Bay. And then we found out that Matt Hines likes the Garfield minus Garfield and, of course,
Love
Penny Arcade.
Comic, yes.
And then Madfall Jones, he has one called Questionable Content.
Yes, I remember that one.
So he says like that was always one of his to read for a while. So definitely those are a couple. And again, we want to thank everyone for answering the call to our question. I haven't thought of one this week. Maybe we'll talk more about Guardians and something
else. I'll say, who is the character you think you're gonna
relate to
in
Guardians
of the Galaxy?
It's probably gonna be Groot.
You think Groot? Because that's all you say is Groot. You know his powers?
I know that he can heal and stuff because he's kind of like a plant.
Yeah, he's basically
like
a plant. The cool part is any wood that's around him, he can absorb it, and it makes him stronger, and
bigger.
He can grow and stuff
that
with it.
Welcome to the National Forest.
Actually, there was a cool comics panel that I saw where it shows Thor, and you see Groot falling from the thing, getting bigger and bigger, and he falls on top of Thanos. He's just like, I am Groot. So
that'd be
kind of cool. So, whatever your top characters that you think you most likely for Guardians of the Galaxy, if you don't know the characters, we'll definitely post the pictures of these characters for you to
and a little
see.
Bit of a like a quick blip
and a
about
a blip about them and everything like that. So this is a movie that I'm more excited for now this year. Like as much as I want to see, I want to see Captain America, the new X-Men movie, Spider-Man, of course, and like Guardians of the Galaxy, I did not think I was going to be.
Yeah, Sam, I kind of heard about it and I kind of knew like if you're basically into comics, you should have known who these people are, but I had no clue like as much detail. And who knows, like maybe there's comic book fanboys out there who are like they're ruining it because maybe they know like more of like what it's supposed to be.
So
hit us up, let us know.
But to me, I've gone into movies now. I'm like, look, if I go into a movie and the movie entertains me, it did its job. Okay,
pretty much.
I'm after the Spider-Man 3 fiasco where I got so hyped up. Don't get me wrong. Like I keep saying this too, and a lot of people hate me for it, but it's like Spider-Man 3. It's not a bad movie.
No.
It's not a great movie.
It's not the best movie.
To me, to be fair, in that entire trilogy, I think number 2 is the best one.
I agree.
And I think number 2 should have actually – it was actually almost nominated for an Oscar just because it pretty much had everything you needed in a normal movie.
Pathos.
So we'll see what happens. But Kyle, your Sidekick Corner? What do you got this month?
For me, I was going to recommend for people who have not read it to pick up Batman The Long Halloween.
Now,
it's one of my favorite ones.
Batman Long Halloween is a great read. Now, there's two other books that are connected to that. What
right.
are those ones called?
I think of Batman, The Boy Wonder, and The Boy Wonder, and it's the introduction of Robin.
Okay.
It's done in that same style.
Yes. And then,
I forget if it was Calendar Games or it was like Batman.
Because I've read
something. It's dealing with the family again, though. It's dealing with
I own a Long Halloween. I think you let me borrow the second one.
Right.
And then I remember after I got done reading it, I was like, oh, there's a third one, but I could never remember the name to that. But yeah, it's a good three long trilogy. I really love the Long Halloween because it deals with Calendar Man, not so much as like a bad guy in it, but more likely helping Batman
trying
to trail him like with the holidays are coming up. And everybody is like in it, like the Joker, even the cool part, you even think the Riddler is going to get killed in it. And it turns out to be April Fool's Day.
Right. Like all these kind of things.
So, a lot of cool stuff in that one. I really enjoyed that one. It was a really good. I actually gave the unofficial intern, Sammy, recommended it to people. She's like, you got to read Batman The Long Halloween. Like, that's another good read to read. And it's a really long book, too. That's actually Nightfall. Nightfall actually has two other ones attached to it. I only have the first volume. This is the introduction of Bane, and Bane breaks Batman's back. So that's another good one.
Yeah, so there was Batman Dark Victory.
Yes.
That's the one that has him and like when him and Robin, I think, first meet.
That was it.
It's by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. There was that one. There was The Long Halloween, and then there's another one out there. I'm not sure because I don't see it.
That was it. The Vengeance, I believe, is number 2.
Right, Vengeance.
Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely check those out. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Mooney Jr. Follow me on Instagram at @smooneyjr. Also follow the @longboxcast. And then, of course, longboxcast.com, part of the Fern. Kyle, where can they find you?
Find me at Mooney Studios. And, of course, again, like you can find us on 4Ed Radio if you search us, or even just Google us. All of our info comes up on search engine, so you just give us a look there. As always, kids, we want to tell you so much for thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, I think that was enough said for this week.
Did we come up with a?
That's pretty much it. Enough said.
Enough said.
Face front. Enough said.
This feeling deep inside of me, girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling, I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
This has been another fine production of the 4Eyed Radio Network. For more shows, please listen to 4EyedRadio.com.
Goo 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 berries.
You know what I fear? Being canceled.
Oh, I thought it was like, if you're going to fear something, fear me more.
Do it. Equal or greater than.
Brave.
More so.
Arrow.
Fear the guy.
I'll rip off of Hawkeye.
Robin Hood.